Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thank you, Peter, for joining us a day early. We certainly appreciate you making us look good. How are you?
Everything's going okay, guys. How about you?
We're good. Things are good. Ray is happy because today has been a Monday of misery for 49er fans. And look, that was a game where the 49ers got shut out in the second half when it looked like Seattle was ready to roll over and die in that first half. And, you know, 3 turnovers, 2.8 yards per carry from a rushing attack, which if it's not popping, the Niners' chances of doing anything start to diminish, you know, quickly, because they don't want to put the ball in the air. Kittle was spectacular. That's pretty much the end of the spectacular.
I think it's one of the best games, maybe the best game of Kittle's life. I mean,
I'm sure
will think of others, and he's had so many good ones, but that play down the sidelines is really one of the great individual plays of the NFL season by any player. And you know what? I really, really agree. You know, I didn't see, I had a bunch of things yesterday. I didn't see a lot of this game for various reasons. I was focused a lot more on, on Steelers-Ravens. But what I found interesting when I went back and watched the little 14-minute YouTube package of all the plays in the game is that, you know, they started off on a terrible note. Okay, and the terrible note was the Travis Homer touchdown run, which was really, that kind of thing is just an embarrassment for your special teams. And the only reason in this particular case that I think it's particularly embarrassing for the special teams is that if you had watched the Seattle Seahawks play football in the last month, you would know that they stink. Self-scouting, they have to say, hey, we stink. We have to use every trick in the toolbox. So every special teams meeting in Santa Clara last week should have begun with, the Seahawks know they stink, and they're going to try to do multiple things on special teams to screw us up. And, you know, it started right away. You know, it started 2 minutes into the game. So again, I'm not picking on special teams particularly, but that's an area that, and again, it's easy to look back in retrospect and say, "Oh, that just can't happen." Well, no crap, Sherlock. Of course it can happen. But the reason why it happens is that the preparation was lacking, and that is the thing. If I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm really ticked off about.
First of all, congratulations for being the first person to use no crap, Sherlock, and blowing the whole alliteration.
Thank you, Ray.
You're welcome. Secondly, how much of that lack of preparation is really more reacting poorly to an unusual play? Because as Damon pointed out earlier, you almost never see a fake punt where the snap just goes to the up back. And it almost looked like the 49ers were so befuddled by it, but then decided, you know what? It's such a good play. Let's not ruin it by pursuing Travis Homer.
Look, there is a way to play punt team football, okay, if you're the defense, if you think that something might be up, okay, first of all, you're not going to have on a punt block. You're not going to have on the rush for the punt block, okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is you got to play. I remember I covered the Giants in the 80s, and they had a special teams coach named Mike Swetman, and his whole theory was at times, and I forget the terminology he used, but if you think something funny might go on, you basically have to play an umbrella defense on that punt team, which means, look, you know, block them at the line of scrimmage, be ready for anything. Maybe it's going to be a punt, or maybe it's going to be a punt. Maybe it's going to be a pass to one of the gunners. Maybe it'll be a pass to the up back like Travis Homer. Just, you know, don't commit yourself at the snap of the ball, period. And so that, to me, that's how I would have played this game yesterday if I were San Francisco. And again, I realize it's easy to say that in retrospect. But going into this game, you had to know that Seattle was thinking, essentially, we have to do everything in our power, you know, to try to stave off the weirdness that they might call on in this game.
Peter, they've got an offense that, if it has to do anything other than run the ball, they seem to be uncomfortable with that. They have a defense that has allowed 278 points so far this year. That's the most in the NFC West. Only bad NFC, you know, Washington, Philly, the Vikings, the Bears, the Lions, and the Falcons have given up more points, and no one would take them seriously as a playoff team. Yet here are the 49ers, even with that loss, still looking at the caboose of playoff participation. Even expect this team to do in a playoff game?
I don't know. There's 5 weeks to go. So I can't tell you. I don't think anybody can tell you because, look, Neil Hornsby founded this company called Pro Football Focus, PFF. You guys might have heard of it. Sold the majority of it, I don't know, 6 or 8 years ago to Chris Collinsworth. But he still is basically the grand poobah and the founder of Pro Football Focus. All right, they analyze the game from every player on every play. And I was texting with him, last night. And he said, basically, what are you writing about? And I said, some weirdness. And he goes, this is the weirdest year in the NFL I've ever seen. But the only reason I bring that up is that right now, as we sit here, and this is crazy, I actually may cover this game this weekend. I may cover San Francisco at Cincinnati. I don't go to a lot of games, but I've got to be at the Hall of Fame on Friday in Canton for a couple of things. And I'm actually thinking of driving down, covering the game in Cincinnati, because to me, San Francisco at Cincinnati is the perfect allegory for what 2021 is. Okay? So, and why do I say that? I say that because here come the 49ers coming off a tremendous rally in the last 3 weeks. Beat the Rams, beat Jacksonville, beat Minnesota. And you figure, okay, they're going to a down team in Seattle. They'll win. And they lay an egg and they lose the game. And now you've got Cincinnati win at Vegas, beat Pittsburgh. They sweep Pittsburgh for the first time since mastodons roam the earth. And so you figure, okay, they got the Chargers coming in, tough game, like their chances, and they get not obliterated, but they get beat, you know, significantly. So last night, it's like 2:00 in the morning, and I'm progressing on my column, but I looked at the playoff standings and I said, well, holy crap. Seventh seed in the NFC right now, San Francisco. Seventh seed in the AFC right now, Cincinnati. 1-7-5, 1-6-6. and they have a vital game. Two teams with a combined 13-11 record in December. Okay, neither of whom is in first place in their division. In a lot of ways, in weird ways, to me, it's the game of the week in the NFL because it is the game that says everything about 2021 in the NFL.
A lot of reasons have been given for why this is such a bizarre year and why there are five good teams, eight terrible teams, and then a boatload of mediocrity. But would you not have thought that by now some of this would have self-corrected and that you'd have seen more teams sort of emerge from this, well, we're calling it the group of suck. But, I mean, just, under normal circumstances, wouldn't you have six teams you could trust in each conference? Because it looks like you've got about three in the AFC and three in the NFC. Three in the AFC, three in the NFC.
I mean, if you consider New England, Kansas City, Buffalo right now, teams you can trust in the AFC, and Arizona, Green Bay, Tampa Bay in the NFC, I would agree with you. But, you know, wait till next week. Wait for 2 weeks. I would have said if the Bengals handled their business and if the 49ers handled theirs, I would have said, well, maybe you can trust those teams. And to me, I think it is simply a matter of the kind of year where there is, in many ways, a huge course correction. And so you say, what do you mean a course correction? And I say that we know that teams quarterbacked by Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, you know, and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, we know those teams are going to be pretty reliable. It would be shocking if they weren't. And they have been, for the most part, pretty reliable. But when I talk about course corrections, I talk about a front office in Arizona went out and made a bunch of decisions this offseason. And really going back to the huge decisions of after 1 year jettisoning a 1 year head coach, Steve Wilks, and a 1 year 10th player picked in the draft. You know, when they traded Josh Rosen after 1 year. Here's the point I would make about this. See, I think every football season is a snowflake, just like I think every game plan that the New England Patriots have is a snowflake. And I mean that they're all different. This is so interesting and, in my opinion, so much fun this year because you look at the AFC right now, and the number 13 seed today at this moment is Miami. They've got six wins. The five seed is Buffalo, and Buffalo has seven. And it's just, and so I think, you know, I forget who one time said embrace the suck. I think we ought to embrace the mediocrity because isn't what is fun about sports waking up on a Sunday morning and having no idea who's going to win the game? Obviously, if you're a 49er fan, you want the 49ers to win the game. But, you know, just for the sport itself, I just think it's tremendous fun having absolutely no idea who's going to win these games.
So last week, Peter, you told Colin Cowherd that you didn't expect the Niners to trade Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason. Is that an endorsement?
Yes.
Jimmy, or is that a critique of Trey Lance being the guy?
No, if the 49ers, and I forget how I termed it, but if I didn't say this, I should have. If things continue on the current path, okay? And if they do continue on the current path, with yesterday being an exception and not the rule, like, let's just say for the sake of argument, if Garoppolo plays over the next 5 weeks, quality to very good football, and the 49ers go 3-2, and they make the playoffs, and Garoppolo plays well, and he goes out, and however they do in the playoffs, he plays pretty well. Then you ask yourself this question, and this is my point about the 49ers, okay? And it is, when have they gotten in the most trouble? I'll tell you when. When they have stripped the roster down to the studs, and when they have had one winning quarterback. I didn't say great quarterback, but a quarterback you can win with on the roster. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, that the Philadelphia Eagles offer San Francisco the 16th pick in the draft this coming year for Jimmy Garoppolo. Or let's say somebody offers them that. Okay?
That other GM should be fired. Are you kidding?
Well, but hang on a minute. The reason why, if I were the 49ers, I absolutely wouldn't automatically take the trade, is that then you'd be putting yourself in the exact same position you were in the three of the first 4 years that the 49ers failed miserably under Shanahan Lynch, and that is Bear at quarterback. I am one of those guys who feels like I would rather have a quarterback controversy than only have one quarterback. Like, I was openly a huge fan of the Eagles taking Jalen Hurts in the second round in 2020, even though it was clear that Carson Wentz had a mad on about that right from the beginning. And you know what? I don't care, Carson Wentz. You know, if you were durable, then we wouldn't have done this. You're not durable. Just shut up and play football and all that. And I don't mean to be stark about this, but it really ticks me off when people, in my opinion, don't realize the value of the second quarterback on the team. The second quarterback on the team is one of the most 10 to 12 most valuable players on your team. Why don't you ask the Arizona Cardinals? Who would you have rather had at the start of the year? Colt McCoy or pick a schmo? Josh Rosen, Mike Glennon, whoever. Colt McCoy won two huge road games in the division at San Francisco and Seattle. And he wasn't just a caretaker. In those two games, he completed 81% of his throws.
Right, but Peter, so, you know, at no point in time did the Arizona Cardinals have to give up three first-round picks to obtain Colt McCoy. That's what makes Trey Lance so different.
But, okay, so here's my question. Here's my question. Colt McCoy right now is your backup quarterback, okay? And I understand that. You know, yes, did they overpay for that pick? History may well say with an exclamation point, yes. The only point I'm making is, right now, at this moment in time, would you take the 16th pick in the draft and, let's say, a potential, you know, six-year starter somewhere on your roster? I don't know where, whoever the player would be. Would you take that? Or would you rather have insurance at the most important position on the roster, and insurance at a position that has absolutely screwed you in three of the first 4 years of the Shanahan Lynch regime?
I would take the draft pick and roll the dice with Trey Lance. I think that if Trey Lance were the quarterback this year, that they could still be 6-6. I don't think that there would be that much different. I see.
But I'm not questioning that. I'm not questioning that. What I'm saying is, what if somebody rolls up on Trey Lance's ankle and he's out for 3 weeks?
All right, well, but that's – so you go out and you get whatever next year's version.
But that's what the 49ers said. That is my whole point. Respect the backup quarterback. Respect the two-quarterback system in today's football. And the 49ers this year are doing that. And I'm not saying Garoppolo's been great, because he hasn't. And I'm not even saying that Garoppolo should start – if they keep him on the team opening day next year. Not saying that at all. I'm saying that unless you figure out a better alternative than Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard, and put a lot of stock and a lot of emphasis on finding a very good backup quarterback, on going out and trading something significant for, let's say, Gardner Minshew, and we could think of three or four guys, then my point is, You're doing fine the way you are. You're doing fine. And I realize Garoppolo's number is a killer. I get it. But I am not entering next year with Trey Lance and a wing and a prayer as the backup.
Well, I mean, they got a wing and a prayer at corner, and I don't know how they fix that. I mean, so yeah. I would draft a cornerback with the 16th overall and say, you better be right about Trey Lance, because that's you. All eggs have been put into that basket. I know we got to get running soon, and I know Ray's got one more for you, Peter. So let's keep it going.
Let's take the long short view here. Of this group, Washington, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Minnesota, Carolina, Atlanta, New Orleans.
Not Carolina and Atlanta and New Orleans out of it.
Okay, fine.
Knock them out.
But let's just say of the four teams that we are allowing, Washington, San Francisco, yeah. Philadelphia, Minnesota, which is the team that you look at and say they have the best counterpuncher's chance of getting to the second or third weekend of the playoffs?
I mean, I thought you were going to say who's got the best chance to make it. I mean, in an ideal world, I think it was fairly healthy. You know, of all those teams, to me, I would take San Francisco. But Washington is an interesting and a deceptive team right now. And here's the interesting thing about Washington, okay? Like, their last four games are against teams that their last five games are all against division teams. Two Dallas and three against Philadelphia and the Giants. So that's a tricky slope. But, you know, the Eagles are basically the same. They're playing all in the division too. I think the thing that I like the most about the 49ers, if Elijah Mitchell can be what he was in their winning run, I just think that having the quarterback as the complementary player is the thing that really helps you win. And right now, that's what he is. He should be, Jimmy Garoppolo should be the complementary player, not the guy who you want to throw it 33 times a game.
But when you have to throw it, boy, you need more than a compliment these days, I think. And I just don't know if he's got it. Peter, we got to run.
Let me just one last point. Taylor Heineke, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins. Okay? Like, we're not talking about any players who are going to Canton, Ohio one day. Okay? What we're talking about are guys who are middle-of-the-road NFL quarterbacks. So I understand what you're saying. But the Vikings without Dalvin Cook are wounded. And so, again, I know you got to go. But just keep one thing in mind. Respect the backup quarterback.
Well, we might respect the backup quarterback if Kyle used a weapon on a team that is desperate to get some weapons out on a field because of all the injuries. The wrinkle that Lance was supposed to represent early on can't
right.
even be seen
and maybe, and you know
at
what?
All.
And you know what? I bet he will this weekend. That's my guess.
We'll see
if they struggle this weekend. I bet you see Trey Lance in Cincinnati. It's just a gut feeling. I don't know anything. But
we look forward to
Kyle understands. Just a gut feeling.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.